Would you please turn with me to the 15th chapter of the book of St. Luke? Thank you to our musicians for this wonderful selections the Lord has blessed us with this morning. St. Luke chapter 15, I'd like to read verses 11 through 24. If you have that in your Bibles, or if you're prepared to read on the screen, if you're ready for me to begin reading, would you say amen?
Amen.
And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread? But I perish here with hunger. I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. This is the word of the Lord. As I mentioned last week, this parable is, as you can see in your Bible, is the third parable in chapter 15 of Luke, called the parables of joy, joy over lost sheep being found, lost coins being found, and now a lost son being found according to the Father in verse 24. Without restating too much of what I said last week, although the story does require some repetition so that we're up to date on what's happening in this story. The young son asks his father, or doesn't ask, he demands from his father that he give him the share of the property that's coming to him, his inheritance. And I mentioned that that's unusual for a son to ask for an inheritance while the executor of the estate, in this case the father, while he's still living. The father did not apparently want to dwell on the irrational and perhaps irresponsible and maybe yet even unrespectful request. So he grants the request. Perhaps he figured that trying to be reasonable with a person who is unreasonable is a waste of time. I mentioned the fact that there is something in the providence of God that this young man obviously doesn't know. That he was blessed to be in the home that he was in. I spoke a little bit about the fact that those of us who are raised in a Christian environment, the blessings that we still enjoy because of that upbringing, the influence of godly people striving to live lives as holy people, is something that money cannot buy. I also mentioned the fact that there are godly influences all over the place. Jesus said that we are the salt of the earth. So those who were not raised in Christian homes no doubt have fallen under the influence of those persons who were godly, loved God. Whether it be at school, at work, or at play, God has placed people in our lives that have influenced us and caused us to become curious about the God that they serve. And one thing led to the other, and we are here. Whether we come from a Christian home or a non-Christian home, the fact that we're all here is a testament of God's sovereign work and providential work in all of our lives. This young man was blessed further than he ever knew. The Bible says in verse 13, as we just read, that not many days later, after he made that irrational request, not many days later means obviously he didn't waste much time. His mind was made up, and a hasty decision then prompted a hasty departure from his father's home. He had a taste, an urge for freedom and independence, and in his own mind, he was going to satisfy that hunger for them both. No indictment for a great chef that a person walks away from their table dissatisfied. Doesn't necessarily mean that the chef was not diligent or excellent in his preparation or presentation. It simply means that the person sitting at the table may have had a different taste, may have wanted something different than what the chef had to offer. And this is exactly the case with this young man. That often people are driven from the church or driven from our lives and do not desire to have deeper relationships because their appetite is for something different, a different lifestyle than a lifestyle lived by one who claims Christ as being their king and whom Christ claims to be his subject and child. This man suffered from a good case of love taken for granted. He didn't think about who would take the role of father in this faraway place that he would soon leave. He gathered all his things up quickly, according to verse 13, took a journey into a far country. He moved far from not just his home, but more importantly, moved far from his father. He moved so far that his new residence was as if the son was saying he didn't need the father anymore and he could make it on his own. He was trying to make a statement, it seems as if. He must have believed that even at his younger age, he is his own man. And he wants to wrestle his life away from his father and take charge of his own life, going where he wants to go and doing what he wants to do when he wants to do it. It could also be that the younger son did not fully appreciate what his father had done for him all of his life. And now believes he can provide for himself equally well without his father's help. I can only imagine how saddened his father must have been, how heartbroken he must have been to think that one that he had nurtured and loved and taught and provided for so faithfully now says he doesn't want his father's influence, his father's company, or his father's fellowship. He no longer wants his father's time or attention. His house no longer wants a place, his place of rest any longer. It's like the young man wanted nothing to do with his father. He clearly wants to live life on his own terms because he doesn't have the same unselfish heart that his father has, and neither does he possess the same love for fellowship, and nor does he value the precious time that he spent with his father. He believes he can do without his father. The father knew for all intent and purposes it was as if this young man was dead, moving to such a faraway place. Presumably there he would have little or no communication with him, but have no contact with his son who moves so far away. Do you notice in this text something very important? And that is this. The father didn't move away from the son. The son moved away from the father. The father never moved. The son moved. Not only was this young man physically far away from his father, but it's fitting, almost appropriate. But because the wandering son's passions, his desires, his intent, his heart and mind already were far away from his father. His body was just following him. He was far away, distant from his father's. In his heart and mind already. I don't know how much he thought about while he was packing. But he was just too excited to think about any of the deeper things of life. What a big step this is. Whether or not he would resent and be sorry for making this decision, who knows what his mindset was? We do know that he had his mind set on leaving and leaving quickly. I mentioned to you that all the things that he took were things his father provided. Any expression of love, any coat that he bought, any sandal that he bought, any coat that he bought, all expressions of love by his father. We sing this wonderful song, which I enjoy singing. This is my father's world. People walk away from God, but it's interesting that they don't leave God's stuff. They don't hate God that much. It's God's air. It's God's sun. God's moon. God's rain. God's vegetation. It's our Father's world. A thirst for doing what is objectionable, ill-advised, and intolerable to his father. This is the mindset of the son. In that far country, his identity would not be known. No one knew him. He wasn't a frequent traveler. He didn't have an American Express card where he had points because of his frequent travels. No one knew him there. That was by design. He squandered it, verse 13 says. When he got there, he became involved in a wild lifestyle. I've seen that happen with some young people who were raised in the church, and some may say, well, they were too sheltered. They never experienced anything. Well, what's sheltered enough? Seems like his parents were kind of caught between two extremes. While he's there, he squandered all that he had, his property, quickly. He squandered it with a wild lifestyle. And this is proof that he's in his mind and heart, he already was far away from his father before he ever arrived. terrible price for rebellion. That's all he has to show for his expedition into a life of rebellion, wasteful life. There's nothing to show for it. It's empty. His pockets are empty. Our text may be giving us some indication of the unhinged and uncontrollable power of sin. It's a life out of control when we have no fellowship with the Father. He's seen as wasting his entire inheritance, and he seemingly can't stop spending until it's gone. He sees what participating in this lifestyle has brought him. He has no power over it. He can't say no to sin. He can't tame himself. His life is completely unhinged. He's given himself over to every opportunity for pleasure in this far distant place. He lost it all. He lost it all. There's many different examples in our contemporary society of people who've lost it all. I don't want to necessarily name them, although they're not known to any of us personally that I know of, but famous people who've lost a lot. Fallen from grace, so to speak. Made a fortune and sadly lost it all. Living a wild lifestyle. This sinful expedition has cost this young man his identity, his dignity, his honor, and his integrity. And by all means, and when we sum it up and look at this young man's life and what he gave up and versus what he perhaps gained by moving to this faraway place, I think it's safe to say this was not a good move. It's not a good place to be. This is no place to move. He may have seen people as he walked up and down the street who may have looked at him curiously and recognized him as being a stranger and wondered, why would he come here? If I could leave, I would. And maybe he walks further down the street and someone across the road looks over at him and sees him maybe dressed differently than those citizens of that far country and identify him again as someone not from here. And wondering what would bring a young man like this to a place like this. This is no place to move, son. I guess in my thoughts, I just had wondered out loud, and so I had to jot it down. Who wants to be far from the Father? Who voluntarily wants to be far from the Father? Who wants to be far from God? Who wants God to say, I never knew you? Who wants to forfeit the protection and provision of God and attempt to go it alone in this world and attempt to live independent of God? It's not possible, but so many people think it is. And verse 14 said, when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country and he began to be in need. Life often is that way. Trouble seems to beget trouble. Hard times seems to sometimes beget hard times. You're hit with a double whammy of life. He has nothing to combat this famine. He's not saved anything. He's not prepared for a famine. But you have to wonder, I thought as he was traveling to this place, were there any street signs anywhere? Were there any signs where you could see others who had lost their way? And why didn't he wonder, am I going the right direction? Walking this way, I'm wondering if there were any warning signs on that road to far country that says dead end, no through street, danger ahead. He's now there. He has nothing. And apparently he knew no one well enough who had anything they could offer him. The prodigal left his father's house in one of the pleasures of life, but soon found himself in that far country in need of life's necessities. So verse 15 says he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. We'll give him 1 point. When you're broke, you need a job. No funds available to sustain his chosen vile lifestyle. He looks for a job working for one of the citizens of that far country. And he takes a job. I don't know if it's the first place he applied or not. But I would imagine there's not a line of people applying for this same employment. Because the job that he took was feeding the pigs. That's not something that you would think that a Jewish boy would do. He had traded his values for pleasure, his discipline for frivolity, and common sense for nonsense. This is not what he envisioned his life would look like. And how many times have we heard that? Perhaps we said it ourselves at some point in time, or our children or child has said that, or relative or friend has said that. This is not the way I thought things would turn out. He was just looking for a good time. He didn't think he would be influenced so much, but end up with so little. He ran out of money. He ran out of food. He was so hungry. He was lusting after the pods that the pigs were eating. The pigs were eating better than he was at one point. He can't hide the results of his decision to walk away from his father, nor can he hide his father's identity. He was born in the image of his father. Neither was he from that far out of the way country he traveled to. He doesn't belong here. May I say to you, if you're far from your father, you don't belong there. His father belonged to him, and he belonged to his father. Every place he went, whether he knew it or not, there was a sign on his forehead that says, "Not from here." All humanity cannot escape its likeness to its creator. We were made in the image of God, and that fact is indisputable, and we are made accountable to live up to that high privilege. Being made in the image of God. Verses 15 and 16 said that who sent him into the fields, this employer, sent him into the field to feed the pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate. And no one gave him anything. They wouldn't even share the food that they were giving the pigs. What a disappointing, disagreeable, and disgusting way for a Jewish boy to make a living. Pigs were considered unclean by Jewish law. They were not to be eaten. He didn't eat this. Why am I in this pig pen feeding pigs? This is not my life. This is not what I like. This is not what's agreeable to me. This is not my history, my upbringing. Why am I here? If you're not where you're supposed to be, leave that place. There's somebody waiting for you. Leave that place. It won't get any better. It will only get worse. Such detestable employment by the young son is used here in the parable of Jesus. This is Jesus' parable. To illustrate the depths of this young son's fall from where he once was. His fall from grace was fast and steep. One interpretation of our text, and I move to a close, is in this story of the fall of man. Isn't this story showing us something about the fall of humanity in general? Having been in the favor of and enjoying both the protection and provision of God the Father, yet humankind fell so far from our privileged position. The prodigal has many different addresses in every nation on the face of the earth. He is not the only prodigal. They're everywhere. They're in Arlington. They're in Dallas. They're in Shreveport. They're in Miami. They're in New York. They're in Kinshasa. They're in Alaska. They're in Cuba. They're in Buenos Aires. Prodigals everywhere. By and large, the whole earth, the earth's population at large, has walked away from God the Father. Another view of this text is on a more personal level. With all of humankind's disappointing creations of pleasure and insufficient inventions of happiness, isn't this parable also a reminder of the individual human propensity for a life of sinful folly and degradation apart from God the Father? Well, that's a rhetorical question, which means the answer is yes. The young man would now realize there is no true lasting satisfaction outside of the Father's house. Let me close by asking a question. How miserable does one have to be? And how long does one have to lay in the muddy waters of deceit and the cesspool of sin before reaching out and up to their Father for help and restoration? If you're in that faraway place, are you willing to reach out and up? We said earlier the young man apparently knew no one who could save him. That's not exactly true. He knew no one in that far country who could save him. But he did know someone. His Father. He knows someone who would be there for him, particularly in these circumstances. I'm sure the son has wondered what the father is thinking right now. Is he ever thinking of me as I am thinking of him? Am I too far gone for him to take me back? Am I too ashamed to swallow my pride and go back to the Father? Am I willing to confess my mistakes and admit to my Father my need for forgiveness? Oh, if he thought about it, he must have realized his Father is someone who would not be surprised by his circumstances. It's his son. And neither would he judge him if he returned. He must also have known that his father would not be angry and turn him away as he finds his son confused and embarrassed and poor and desperate for a lifeline and wanting again to be his father. He must have thought about his father's kindness having forgiven him before. Will the young prodigal son reach out and up to his father is the question. And if I'm speaking to you this morning, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through my voice, are you willing to turn away from a life of rebellion? Go back to the Father. Let's pray.